Hi, this is E. Christopher Clark from GeekForce5.com.
And this is John Martin from SongsThatSavedYourLife.com. And welcome to Generation Goat, number five.
Number five.
It has five been is a long time, sir, since we rock and rolled.
It has. A long time.
Lonely.
And I'm still doing the stuttering thing as I try to remember the reference.
Nicely done. No, it's Led Zeppelin, which, you know, in making our thoughts organized for this podcast, I was thinking, are they the most overrated band ever? Or are they really just the Killers with bustles and hedgerows? I mean, do we know?
That is a good point, with bustles and hedgerows. I've heard him try to explain where the bustles and hedgerows came from recently, but I don't remember what the explanation was. Just that it sounded like Brandon Flowers. Is that his name? Brandon Flowers?
You can Google an explanation to Brandon Flowers explaining the Are We Human or Are We Dancer lyric. that's a treat. I'll let you look that up on your own because it's delightful.
There's our direct line between between Flowers and Plant. Flowers and...
That's right. Plant, you know, we came along first and then it flowered and now... We have Are We Human or Are We Dancer?
Excellent.
You know, that's the kind of thing I would give my students an F for. Which, you know, kind of shows that I have no place in music, I guess, because that probably made millions of dollars. And
it probably did.
I would be explaining to my students that, you know, that wasn't written correctly.
At least with the Killers, as opposed to somebody like Coldplay... They're at least appear to be writing their own music, as bad as that music might be
True.
At times.
I think even dead people now are getting in on the Coldplay rip me off thing. I saw a press release from Mozart the other day. It was unbelievably scathing. But yeah, you know, what are you going to do? I think he said that Chris Martin was the Salieri of the 21st century.
Right.
It's just not right.
As we're recording this, it's a day after Mom's Day.
The day after Mother's Day. I don't know, do guys congratulate themselves on Mother's Day? Do we say anything? Are we supposed to? I mean, there are no women present, so I mean...
We congratulate ourselves if we didn't do anything wrong, I think.
Well, we salute the mothers who listen to our podcast.
Yes. I would like to know if there are mothers listening to our podcast.
I mean, maybe in the sense that somebody might say, he's a bad mother. I mean, I don't know, but... Well, hello, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to
you. How'd it go for you? You actually have a mom in your house, so...
I do. My wife doesn't expect a lot out of holidays, which is good, because I don't have a lot to give.
I can tell you went all out.
Yeah. Well, I asked her what she wanted in the morning, and she said...
just don't screw it
up. Pancakes. No, she said she wanted breakfast in bed, so I went down, I started making pancakes, and halfway through, Kaylee, my daughter, came down and watched, because I didn't want her anywhere near the stove, because
right.
She's three. And
she's fat enough to go in, not yeah.
Yeah. We did that. We did breakfast in bed, and then, which, unlike when I cooked it for my own mother back in the day, was relatively good. When I cooked it for my mom back in the day, I remember we used we made her coffee with a used coffee filter.
Whew, I thought I was going to go somewhere else.
No, nothing that bad. And didn't know how to make any, so it was all terrible, but we
nice.
Did it. And I thought at the time that was just us, but now I guess it's a cliche, like that's what you come to expect.
Pretty much. Bad food, you know.
Yeah. And then in the afternoon we went and visited my mom. So and Stephanie, my wife, handled all of the flowers and all of that, so I really didn't have to do anything.
Wow.
She bought herself flowers and
does that mean as a role reversal on Father's Day that you'll have to like do all the work and you know, run around
yeah,
and get everything?
Probably. And I don't mind.
I'm exempt from Father's Day now because I'm unmarried and my dad died. So it's kind of like he left me a day off,
yes.
Which
there you go.
Is nice. But it's also like that Simpsons episode where Bart sells his soul. And then, you know, like everybody's in the rowboats going to heaven, but Bart's like going in a circle. because he doesn't have a soul to row with him. It's kind of like that, because everybody goes off and does like dad stuff, and I'm just at home.
Yeah.
I'm the father of that mess in the corner. Come on.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
To hell with you.
But what about your mom? What did she do for...
My mom, I tried to call my mom, but my mom wasn't around. Well done there. I mean, hey, I'm on another continent. I haven't
experienced. Right.
But just about a week ago, my mom gave herself an early Mother's Day present, and she went to Las Vegas. Yeah, and apparently won money, which, you know, they promptly spent. She went with my aunt and my grandmother. But the thing about my mom, Las Vegas is like the most simulated place on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother has actually been to the real Venice, but she thinks that the Venetian casino is like just as nice. Because she was talking about it and she's like, oh, it's so nice. It's so beautiful. It's just like Venice. And I'm like, the canal's a foot deep and it's got coins in it and the casino and it's a shopping mall. And okay, well, that's kind of like Venice, but. What? But no, for my mom, it's exactly the same. So she had a great world tour in Las Vegas. So, you know, all right, well done. And she got to see pyramids. And
only in Vegas can you see the pyramids and Venice.
She really does that. Like, she really just, she likes it just as much. And it's really bizarre to me. Because I would be there the whole time as an embittered arts student being like, oh, this is so fake. It's such a simulation. Don't these people realize that this is just like a hyper-real environment that's completely messing with them? I don't understand. But my mom, no. My mom loves it. She eats that stuff right up. So.
And so, better... Vegas, better or worse than the World Showcase at Epcot?
I like the World Showcase.
I love the World Showcase. I just wanted to throw that out there.
This is where my argument falls apart, because... I've been going to Disney. I went a whole bunch of times when I was little because it was easier to spend money on me than like pay attention to me, I guess. So we went to Disney a lot, and I remember being there the first year Epcot was open, and then watching the World Showcase slowly unfold as time went on, and they added Norway, and that was a big high point in my young life.
I remember that. The first time we went, there was no Norway, and the second time, or the third time.
Because it was a log ride that went backwards for a moment. I mean,
I know.
You know, I mean, hello.
You know who was in? Here you go, Mr. Andy Hicks, because he sent me a message about this.
We totally got to mention Andy like three times.
Right. You know who was in Orlando? Not Andy, but Mr. Ken Mills was in Orlando this week. As Andy didn't know, but Andy sent me a message saying, or he sent us a message a while back saying, "Guys, I'm listening to your podcast, but you need more Ken Mills." So. Huh. There you go, Andy.
Well, we do take requests, not that we get them, but, you know.
Right. Ken was apparently in Orlando, so, you know.
What was Ken doing in Orlando?
I think he was just on vacation.
So, like,
I think it was...
Hotel?
Is it April vacation? No, it's too late for April vacation. It's May. He was on vacation with his wife and her daughter, so his stepdaughter.
God, that's so weird.
It's very odd. But, so Disney. So I'm not sure if he visited Epcot. I know he visited Animal Kingdom. I saw that on Facebook. So I'm assuming he went to Epcot at some point.
Wow. Maybe he's trying to, like, get his band into a hotel down there.
Maybe.
That could be it. Although, you know, I was just reading that the next Guitar Hero is going to be a Van Halen one. who is happier than Ken? I mean,
nobody. You know, there was also, I saw an ad that showed DJ Hero. So it was a turntable with like the three or four buttons, which...
I saw that.
Not sure how I feel about that.
It sounds a lot easier.
Yes.
I've actually never played the Guitar Hero. It's
I have not. Well, you know what? That's a lie. I went to not Toys R Us, but one of those in the mall video game places, and my brother-in-law and I picked up the guitar and were terrible at it for a little while. And then my cousins brought it, the Aerosmith one, once, and I was terrible at that.
Wow. That's crazy. No, I've never tried it. I'm mystified. The young people seem to like it. I hear it's that rock and roll music that they like so much. Right. But I, no, it's terrible. And that, you know, becoming 30, like, you quickly become aware of the fact that, oh, wait a minute. There are, like, whole cultures of things that are popular that I am not interested in anymore.
Yes.
Like, not even interested in making fun of, like, completely ambivalent about. Just, they exist and they do their thing, and wait a minute. In 10 years, I'm going to be one of those out of touch people. Mm. No.
If I'm not already.
Okay, well, I can be hip. I can be cool. The Jonas Brothers. People like the Jonas... No, they don't like the Jonas Brothers. They're quitting Disney. Oh, God. What do I do? It's terrible.
It is terrible.
You know, has actually led me lately to... I don't know. I think subconsciously I've been attracted to downloading more Nintendo games. I'm like, I've been wanting to eat Crunch Berries, and I've been thinking about Saturday morning cartoons. Like, I think something subconsciously is regressing. Even or it's, you know, dissertation stress, but it's like one of the two. Sorry, it's a bit of a tangent.
I have the desire to go on field trips every once in a while. And I don't really know why, but there's something to be said about getting on a bus. You know, yeah. You go to school for like 20 minutes and then you get on a bus and you go do something.
Because they're always this time of year too, you know, right. like there would always be a field trip now. I remember going to Walden Pond actually at about this time of year. I snuck onto a bus. I wasn't my English class that was going, but I just like, I literally just snuck on the bus and I went. And
I don't think we ever got to do anything as cool as that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I went to school in Lowell for a really long time. Lowell, Massachusetts, for those of you, that are listening that are strangely not local, was kind of the birthplace of the Industrial Revolution in America. We have, consequently, tons of mill buildings, and they're all up and down the river, but ours were first. Robert Lowell, I think it was, stole the blueprints from a place in England that he was working. Basically stole them by memory, brought them over, built them.
Right.
So when we would go on field trips, of course, we'd go to mill buildings, and the people there would be like, children such as yourselves, maybe 7, 8 years old, would have to climb under that machine right there and pull out the loose cotton that would fall down there so the machine would keep going. Of course, they'd lose fingers and they'd lose arms, and sometimes they'd get their head taken right off, but you know, it was the only way to keep the mill running. And hordes of young women, usually Irish, would be enslaved here by the mill owners, and... what are you bringing us here for? Why did this place torn down?
I remember going on that trip. We went on that trip just once, though. Being
about 5 times.
Wholesome Chelmsford children.
I was and at it. Well, for your field trip, it was probably more like, oh, back in the day, your parents would have owned this, and all would have worked for your parents. And if they misbehaved, you'd send them down south to work on one of your plantations.
My family was actually... my aunt was over. My grandmother lives upstairs from my parents still, and they were talking about that yesterday. When my grandparents bought the land that this has been in my family since the 40s in Chelmsford, it wasn't quite a it wasn't the country, but it wasn't a suburb yet. And when they bought it, they were not rich at all, and they just happened to buy this plot off the back of the road out on what turned into one of the richest streets in town, and they complain just as much about the rich snobby people as I do.
It's funny actually, because you know, Diana's parents sold their house, which is up the street from yours a little bit. Your parents' house, and right. I think when they bought that house, I think she told me they paid like $27,000 or $47,000 or something in the 70s.
Oh my.
And I think they just sold it for, well, probably about 20 times that much.
Right.
Which is just annoying. Because, you know, rich people getting richer makes me sad.
Yes.
Especially as this week I've been contemplating dissertation debt. And I was like, oh, wow, you could buy a pretty nice house with that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, anyway. No, but field trips. I'm actually going on a field trip this week.
Are you really?
Man, really? It's like we scripted this. I'm going on a field trip to Revo Abbey, which is a ruin And there's a, it's a site that's kind of like been taken up romantically in the 18th and 19th century. And it's funny because like when you're a kid, this sounds horrible. A ruined abbey. And then some 19th century stuff. Oh, please, can we? You know, it's the kind of thing that makes sense, but I realize that getting older, I'm actually really like, oh, wow, it's cool. And some experts are going to come and talk to us about the archaeology. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I'm old. That's what happened there. Is there, I can see Chris, for those of you at home, and Chris is peering over his shoulder periodically. Or,
I saw something on...
Are people breaking into your house?
No, not yet. No, I saw something over my shoulder that I had no idea what it was, and it's a light switch. And I... I mean, I sit in this chair.
It's like the worst horror movie ever.
I sit in this chair every damn day.
Chris, are you in the house? I'm in the house. What's wrong? I don't mean to alarm you, but the light switch is in the house. It's like Family Guy when they're talking about Stephen King and how he just... not trying anymore, and they cut to him in an office with his editor. So, what's the next one about? It's about a lamp monster.
I haven't
even trying anymore.
People on my site were talking the other day about Stephen King and The Dark Tower, and how that's going to be adapted by the guys who co-created Lost as their next big project. And they were having debates about at what point did King lose it. And the consensus seemed to be that after he was in the accident, it seemed to knock his creativity away. I actually haven't read much King, but...
I wish I could remember. You know, there was one thing I read, you'd probably remember. He wrote a book about writing.
On Writing, yeah. That's the one that I have read. Oh, He wrote one earlier than that, but On Writing was the one that came out shortly after the accident.
And I remember there... well, no, this would be older then.
So, is it Danse Macabre?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, an older book. And I remember thinking, wow, this is actually remarkably insightful about the craft of writing from someone whose work does not exhibit great insight into the craft of writing.
That's exactly what I thought about On Writing when I read it.
Yeah, it's one of those things, but... I mean, I've read a bit of King. I've never actually read the Dark Tower gunslinger stuff, but I read Eyes of the Dragon, which has Flag, who's the
yeah,
and I guess he's also the villain in The Stand, which I've read.
Right.
But I don't know. I get bored with King. I just even his short stories take about four times as long as they should. You know. And he was running away, and he saw a lamp, which reminded him of his boyhood home, and how he spent many summers there, terrified of the lamp. Yeah, he's just gone. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I did enjoy The Stand, and then I read... somehow I ended up with a paper... I'm looking over at my bookshelf to see if I can see it. I don't know. So somehow I ended up with a copy of The Stand and... I don't know. Oh, Misery.
Uh-huh.
And The Stand I enjoyed. Misery was okay. And
the film
I had read.
Was better, I felt.
What's that?
The film was better, I felt.
The film is like a classic in my memory because it was during that period when we had the little black box that let you watch pay per view whenever you felt like it. And so the movie was out and would play on a loop, you know, throughout the day. And so I could. There are certain movies that came out during that period of time that. Misery is one of them, and the Kevin Costner Robin Hood is one of them.
You know, it's true. I was watching that the other day. It's never going to fade in quality. And, it's so ahistorical, and it's so incredibly cheesy, but I'm willing to give it a pass. I saw it... I guess it was 1991, and because it was out around the same time The Terminator 2 was out. So I remember
Another one that was on.
Yeah, I remember going to see them both about the same time with the folks from the comic book store, and I mean, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
I don't know. Talk about the comic book store.
Well, no, actually, but before we talked about that, I was going to ask you, you just did a comic book convention.
I did. I did.
Is so incredible because you're married and you're not over 300 pounds. How did that happen?
Well, I...
sorry to interrupt you. Yeah. I just point out Chris is recording this in an upstairs room of his house. There's sunlight on your face.
There is.
Basement, so...
I am not in the basement. I am married.
You're wearing clothes. So,
yes.
What happened?
Last summer... let me see. How can I make this a long story, a very short story?
Nobody's listening.
I had wanted to get out to San Diego for Comic-Con this year. That was one of my goals, and it's not going to happen because I don't have the money, and I think they're pretty much sold out. But the main reason I wanted to go was because it was going to be the last Comic-Con that Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse from Lost mm-hmm. were going to be there, or at least the last one prior to the final season. So I really wanted to get out there. And then realizing that that wasn't going to happen, I said... I should be getting to some comic conventions because the natural audience for Geek Force 5 are people who are at comic conventions. And so I did a search on what's coming up in the area, and this one for Free Comic Book Day was coming up. And I said, well, I kind of know that guy, or I knew him through somebody, the guy at Jetpack Comics in Rochester, who was running it. And I said, all right, I'll write him. And he said, all right, I have a table for you.
Aww.
And so they gave all the creators, and they classified me as a creator because I wasn't bringing a bunch of boxes to sell.
Right. And you like to stay on Sundays.
Right. They gave me a table. I was set up next to Brian White from cinemasuicide.com, which was fun.
Cool.
And the main thing, you know, in terms of a downside, people were there for free stuff.
Right.
So I didn't sell anything, but I did give away 60 copies of a short story that I'd written and about 30 bumper stickers and chatted up with a bunch of people.
You have bumper stickers?
Well, I bought some sticker paper. They sell it at Staples, and I made a bumper sticker-sized things.
So, damn.
Everything I put out there, I made myself, and I drove myself crazy making. So,
are you going to start making products for the home soon? Like Geek Force toothpaste?
No, but there may be Geek Force beer in the near future.
Geek Force 5 Alive? I don't know where to go with that.
No, I mean, you know,
Geek Jam? Sorry.
I do some stuff every once in a while to promote the site, but it's all sort of homemade because I can't afford the real stuff.
That's crazy.
And a guy actually did approach me at New Hampshire Media Makers, which I attend each month, asking me if I wanted a Geek Force branded beer.
Wow.
Because he's a micro brewer and he wants to get his name out there. And so I don't know if it would actually be bottled or if it would just be me picking the ingredients and us doing sort of a video on how you would make it.
Oh, you gotta bottle it, but you gotta come up with a crazy name that reflects the site's origins.
I'm not sure if you or any of our listeners out there have.
I don't know. I mean, you know, you gotta throw out the ridiculous ones right away. So you can't call it like Klingon Bloodwine sponsored, and that's gotta go. But
right,
surely there's gotta be some sort of, you know, beer related pun you could work in around Fett or Solo. But it's very intriguing.
Yeah. So I'm interested in the guy was at the meeting yesterday and I was supposed to talk to him, but the meeting went really long, so
crazy.
It'll happen eventually.
Wow.
But Free Comic Book Day, and it had been years since I'd been to a convention. I went a couple of times in college with my friend Eric Paul, who does Bizarre Uprising now. But before that, I had gone with Jerry from the comic store a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean, I went a couple times. But usually, like, I would go with Jerry more to the flea market to sell books. And selling comics at a flea market, I think, is something that now I think, oh, God, isn't there some sort of McDonald's job I could get? But at the time, it was actually kind of fun because, you know, I'd spend a lot of time going around looking for stuff in other people's comics and then buying that. selling it for 10 times as much. But
and it was actually the flea market in Westford where I met. I don't know if you were there any of the times that I went there.
At least,
but I was never working for them at that point. I would always just wander by.
Comic book store. The comic book store, you know, unlike the band, is actually mostly a good memory. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what do? We played D&D, you know, like,
yep,
all the time, and that was great, and we got new books, and
yep,
we got to work as indentured servants for 20% off. I never actually got paid, but I got, like, a discount.
Yeah.
And I had to watch the store with Jerry's dad. I don't know if you had to watch the store with Jerry's dad.
Jerry's dad
didn't really speak English, so...
No, he didn't speak English all that well.
That made life interesting.
I don't know if I ever had to watch it with him. Maybe once or twice. I know that I became a paid employee for a couple of months, and my only real negative memory is this, and that was they hired me, mm-hmm, and still I mostly just got paid in books.
Right.
But at least I was comics were the main thing I was buying, so
right,
that was fine. The fact that my parents had the roof over my head and were putting food in my mouth, so all I really needed was comics.
Yeah.
Because my brother bought all the video games and then I just played. But I was an employee technically for a couple of months, and then at some point they said that I was taking things too personally and that they didn't want to work with me as an employee anymore because it was damaging our friendship.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had given up my very lucrative paper route. It actually wasn't very lucrative, and that's a whole other story.
Uh-huh.
But at least I'd given up my paper route and to work at the store. And now my brother was delivering the papers exclusively and didn't want to give me my side of the thing back. So
right,
I was completely out of work, no money. And that's what eventually led me to work at Purity Supreme, the grocery store. But that day that they said, sorry, we can't let you work here anymore, they told me while I was in the middle of refiling, like I was still working. They told me in the middle of me filing comics.
This is why money ruins everything. Because I remember, I mean, I met Jerry and Diane when I was, I don't know, 12 or so, and we started, uh-huh, playing D&D, because I met them through a guy from Boy Scouts.
Right.
And, yeah, actually, it was, like, going to see Robin Hood was probably one of the very first things that we ever did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was tons of fun. They were really great, like, interesting people. They were, you know, Jerry was an adult of sorts, mm-hmm, but he would spend time painting his laser tag rifle so that we could,
right,
go out and snipe at each other. You know, I mean, mm-hmm, that was perfect for 12.
Right.
And, I remember going to buy my first box of comics with them because I wanted to, like, get a jump start, as it were. So, like, I was looking through the one ad and, like, oh, this sounds like a nice, modest collection. And we went and, like, Jerry,
yeah,
checked it out and said, okay, that's a good price. And,
yeah.
But, yeah, like, I remember moving into the comic book store, and then I remember about 6 months later thinking, wow, Jerry's a real jerk and he doesn't know how to run a store. Because that was always the problem with the store was that, like, it was a fine comic book store. I mean, it had decent inventory. It got,
right,
new stuff. It worked fine. The prices weren't ridiculous compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
But Jerry would either partner with people, like the card guy that,
yeah,
he partnered with for a while, who were thieves and kind of losers in their own right,
mm-hmm,
or toy people who were the same.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, he wouldn't advertise, and he wasn't responsive when people would come in and say, hey, why don't you do this thing? Or are you interested in this thing? He, you know, was like, no, this is my store and I'm running it the best way you can run a comic book store.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, I think the money pressure ruined everything. And, yeah, I only ever worked, like, the odd Sunday. I only ever, you know, they were like, oh, Chris isn't around and, I need someone to watch the store because I want to go somewhere. Do you want to watch the store for free comics?
Yeah.
Yeah, I spent all my money on books, so, okay.
Yeah, it was an interesting place. It's made its way into the stuff I've written, it just as much as the band has made its way.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very intense, impactful period of my life. And
none of us going... Neither of us teach English. Just keep going.
Yeah. Well, I'm done teaching. I have a couple papers to grade, but
yeah,
I'm done for the summer. so I can speech the English as goodly
as I. Not me. I'm teaching summer school.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Doing that instead of comics, and instead of working on... You know, sometimes I think, based on everything I've learned about, like, the perfect job for me would be running a comic book store.
Sometimes.
It's the first thing I did. I've learned lots about business since then. I've learned lots about promotion. You know, all the things that you were just talking about, Jerry, not being particularly good at, I feel like are the things that I have worked on. And I'm not the best in-person salesman, so I would have to partner with somebody who was good at that. But I was talking yesterday about, you know, where do you want to be? Whenever you meet with family, you get that question. Where do you want to be in, or at least I do, in a few years? And I say, you know, I love my job. I love teaching, but I, you know.
Yeah, honestly, I've just been going through a nostalgia phase. I've been just thinking, wow, I kind of missed the simple days of dropping myself off at the comic book store, playing video games, playing Magic the Gathering. And when I was in Switzerland recently, and a guy got on the bus, and he opened his backpack, and out came this big stack of Magic the Gathering cards out of this white box. And he was kind of flipping through them slowly and eyeing each one. And I thought, man, I kind of miss that sort of unbridled geekery.
I do. I sort of every once in a while imagine this grand time where we're all going to be through with grad school and we're gonna have some place that we're able to do that sort of thing again. I don't know when that's going to happen. You know, when my kid or kids, if we have another one, reach a certain age, and then I'm able to sit around and, you know, people play poker. I'm hearing about relatives who, you know, they have kids, but they take time to hang out with adults every once in a while, and I feel jealous. You know, I wouldn't play poker. I'd probably play D&D or Magic. I have a red deck still sitting around, and my brother-in-law helped me actually get it down to a fighting weight at one point, and I'd have to have him do it again. Of course, all the cards are a decade old, but...
Well, but they're supposed to still work, right?
Yeah, no. He says they would all still work. Yeah, it's just I don't have any of the newer stuff.
Yeah.
My brother still plays every once in a while, and he says, you know, he will show me things that I'm like, this exists? Wow, there's no challenge in this anymore, is there?
It's true. Like, I got, you know, nostalgic after I was looking at that thing, and the guy in Switzerland, and I went on eBay, and I was like, all right, I'll just score some Magic cards, and I'll build up from there, right? And I was like, well, maybe I'll just look on Amazon and I'll see, a comic store, and I'll just see what there are for, like, starter decks. You know, because back in the day, you could buy your starter deck and then supplement it, and I figured it worked the same way. And then I'm looking at it, and they're on, like, the 4 millionth edition, and there are 50 different versions of the 4 millionth edition, and it was just like,
mm-hmm. Now, that company took over... bought D&D, right? Or they bought out TSR at some... I don't know if they still own D&D.
They do. Wizards of the Coast does all that stuff now.
Because D&D is the other thing that I would love to get back to at some... Well, actually, you know, I was never as much into D&D as I was into some of the other role-playing games we played, but I didn't have an objection to D&D. It's just that things like Thaco didn't make sense.
It's all gone now. It's all gone.
I know, I've heard that.
D&D is super simplified now. Actually, to the point where it kind of annoys me how simplified it is. But the last game I played was actually online. We used a multi-user dungeon. Mm. And it was run by one of my friend Julie's friends from college.
Right.
And I guess this would have been about 2002, and it was third edition. It was actually 3.5, and it was surprisingly simple, but there were a lot of, like, the combat system had been really updated, so, like, now instead of just, I'm rolling to hit, you know, it'd be like, okay, I'm parrying this attack, and then I'm going to move, and then I'm going to attack this, and then because I'm standing... in this way, I get this bonus, but because I'm standing over here, I get this penalty, and then, you know, it's just like, And then I'm planning my attack very carefully. I'm going to take an extra half round and then attack, so I get a bonus.
Oh, God.
Like, oh, Jesus. All right. Calm down, fellas. I played with some people who were real, like, rules and lawyers, but oh, my God. But we were just talking about this because I play... The only thing I play now regularly is World of Warcraft and, you know, maybe Civ 3. But I play a lot of World of Warcraft. It's kind of obscene. But now I have kind of an elite character, which makes me happy. And we were talking about this in chat the other day. Like, just somebody asked a question about what it took to hit whatever. And I was like, well, I don't know. What's your Thaco? And... obviously not a game mechanic in World of Warcraft, but they, right. they responded, and then we went back and forth, and we were talking about this, and I always wanted to play Paranoia. I mean, I played once or twice, but it was such a cool game in an idea. Do you know Paranoia?
I remember hearing Jerry and other people at the comic store talk about it, but I never got to play it.
In a nutshell, it's kind of like a post-apocalyptic scenario. Everybody lives underground. Everybody's a clone. And you get a certain number of clones for your character.
Okay.
The benevolent and all-loving computer oversees everything and runs society. Mm-hmm. Except the computer's kind of insane. And it's kind of paranoid. And the two things that it's afraid of are communists and secret societies. It's mutants and secret societies. And unfortunately, everybody is a mutant and everybody's a member of a secret society. but the kind of, and so you go on missions, and some of your missions are for your secret society and some of them are for the computer, but you're doing them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're contradictory. So you have to come up with creative ways to, but the one thing about the game is that the GM is the computer.
Mm.
And if a person leaves the room in real life and they don't take their character sheet with them, you can take their character sheet and read it, and you can turn them into the computer. Be like, this person and a member of secret society. So not only do you have to be paranoid in the game, but you have to actually be paranoid of each other in the room.
Right.
Which I think is kind of fun.
That is fun.
I'd love to play that.
I was always searching for the right game for me. Mm-hmm. You talk about that sounds like a lot of fun.
I think Paranoia should be combined with Assassins, you know, and like once you unmask that person, they should have like a 5-minute head start to run out of the room. And you're trying to kill them. I think you should take a break. But anyway, carry on.
Well, my first game, before I played D&D, I came into the comic store already playing the Marvel superheroes role-playing game.
Yeah. That had no flaws in its combat system, but it was fun. Yeah,
that was fun. It was really simple.
Yeah.
And so simple that it sort of took over our Boy Scout troop and and that it was banned from Scout camp at a certain point. Like, I brought it in, it was banned from Scout camp, and then we sort of snuck it around here and there. Towards the end. So Marvel was really simple. D&D seemed overly complicated. The Palladium games, to me, I never played the Palladium RPG, which was their version of D&D, but I did play Heroes Unlimited, and I did play Rifts.
I played Heroes Unlimited.
People at the comic store hated Rifts because Jim Morgan and Mark Miller and all those guys loved playing the super-powered character and turned it into this thing where everything was ridiculous. It was the way that they played it was absolutely. They played juicers and I can't remember the names of the other really like people in really high powered super suits. I played Rifts in college and it was a great game. Yeah. You know, it was much more measured. Yes, you had the potential to be huge, but that was my favorite role-playing well, outside of when we had two different Heroes Unlimited campaigns going on at the comic store, and they actually crossed over. And so I think Diane was GMing one of them, and I was GMing the other one. And there was a little bit of competition there, because we each wanted to always do our thing. But that was also a fun experience. But I always wonder, like, where's the perfect balance between too many rules and too much complication and being way too simple like Marvel was.
Yeah, no, and I'm still looking for it. I mean, I know that, that Julie plays a game now online using the Simple system, and I don't know a lot about Simple, but it's the basis of a lot of different games and game systems, and it's kind of a generic D20 rule set thing,
right?
And I mean, I always thought that might be cool, but the problem is that like it's really hard to start a role playing game casually. You know, at least because I'm the sort of player that wants to advance the story and I want to know what's going to happen and I expect that my DM is running a good story, I want to show up every week. I want to play for 8 hours and, you know, I want the story to move. And like a lot of people, it's weird, you know, like I the other side of that is I meet a lot of people, like there's this kid here, Luca, that I know through Nora, and he plays, and he was like, "Oh yeah, no, just come over. We'll give you a pre-made character. We'll play for a couple hours, and you know, then we'll play a different game next week." And it's like, but how are you going to finish even a pre-made adventure in 2 hours unless you cheat, unless you don't role play, unless it's no fun? I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And but like he's totally happy just pretending and playing, and it's very weird. But I would definitely like the former. But
yeah, I feel like I want part of what the appeal to me is a collaborative storytelling.
Yeah, exactly.
And so when you finally find people who tell the sort of stories that you're interested in, and you're all there together crafting a story, I mean, elements of that story that Diane was telling and that I was telling still exist in the comic book story I'm dreaming of doing on day. It's still you know, it's still there.
You mean in Blood Red 2.0?
Blood Red 2.0. That story, it's going to get done someday once I find the right artist. Because, you know me, I drew in a former life, but I don't draw anymore.
You guys want to see Chris get mad? Check this out. Yeah, Chris made this comic book, and his comic book was this flying toaster. Or maybe it was a VCR.
It was not a flying toaster.
I think it was a toaster. It could have been a Betamax. I'm not sure.
I'm not the Teak the flying toaster.
I've just ruined Chris's day.
No, yeah, but it's, I still love that book, and I love. You didn't bring up Slimy, which was the comic book that preceded Blood Red. I was trying to remember where that was the other day because I said that's one thing I could still draw. You know,
I still have my Blood Red copies actually saved in a box.
I still have one of each, I think. I think I threw out the other copy. I don't know. They might still be my parents'.
Maybe you put them in that flying paper shredder you made.
Before we get completely off track there, what I wanted to ask a question about WoW. Bringing it back, although we could do a whole podcast about my silly comic book.
Well, what I think we should do is make a video podcast actually at some point, and then we can insert images from
You know, that's not a bad idea.
Or we can make, you know, just a rich media audio one and incorporate a PDF. I think that might work too.
There you go.
I've seen that with some art history podcasts.
Not to get too technical, but I think you can do a podcast that at least on an iPod will show artwork.
Nice.
If you use the Apple's format.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I can do that. There's a lot of spec, but I'm pretty sure we could do it. Anyway, sorry. You were saying.
Anyway, I don't play WoW, but I know lots of people who do. Uh-huh. The geek podcasts that I listen to, they are all addicted to WoW. How is that in terms of sating your D&D or your role-playing? You know, does it feel like a role-playing game, or...
No.
No.
I mean, okay, that's kind of a blanket statement. I mean, okay, well, not to take too long at this. So everybody plays, you know, they roll their character on a given server, and there are types of servers. There's the PvP server, which is player versus player, and that, you know, is a... There are two sides, basically. There's the Alliance, and there's the Horde, and the Horde have different races than the Alliance, and they're kind of at different goals, and they have a historical and lore-based hatred for each other. That on a PvP server, their players can just kill each other.
Right.
So you're trying to advance the game through quests and, you know, storyline, but you spend a lot of time getting killed and having people stand over and go, noob. which is really just kind of no fun. Then there's the world PvP server where everyone can kill everyone. No fun. Then there's a normal server where you don't have to roleplay. Usually you're on the normal server because you just want to play the game and do the quests in the game. And I mean, the lore is, it's pretty well written, you know, and the quests do connect to the story of the game overall. So, I mean, in that sense, it's like role-playing. But on a normal server, you're not going to have people, like, putting on certain costumes and actually role-playing with each other.
Right.
Having said that, I'm on a role-play server right now where that almost never happens. Usually what happens, because everybody joins, well, not everybody, but many people join guilds, because some of the dungeons require 5, 10, 20, 40 people to go and coordinate and, you know, beat them, or 25, and because the 40s have mostly gone away into the paper bags of history. All right, there's an oblique pun there. Occasionally you'll find guilds that, like, that's all they want to sign up for, people that want to role play. And you'll see them, they'll just go, they'll sit in a building, like an inn, maybe, the most generic role playing setting ever.
Right.
And they'll actually just tell stories to each other. Sometimes they host storytelling events. And that's kind of fun. That's kind of cool. But it's not, I don't think anything, and it really sounds very geeky, but I don't think anything can really recapture the magic of, like, sitting around a table with your stupid snacks and your dice spread out everywhere and your character sheet and your books and, you know, just hearing a story in person and telling that story yourself. And, you know, I like World of Warcraft. I like it a lot. Like I said, I waste a lot of time and I have some reasonably powerful characters and I have done some really cool stuff, but I miss, it's not a substitute, sadly. I don't think anything will be. I mean, I think that kind of computer game has really dried up. You know, I think it was more of an 80s and an early 90s thing. And I miss adventure gaming and role-playing gaming in that sense. But I think it's all gone.
Yeah. I ask that because I wonder whether being part of something, even though I don't really have the money for a WoW subscription, whether being a part of something like that would just eat up my time, which is probably what would happen, or whether it would sort of fulfill that desire. It's interesting to hear that it doesn't.
It doesn't fulfill the storytelling desire. You know, it doesn't let you play out your character as much, but it is still very satisfying to get 24 other people together and to go and assault a very hard dungeon and actually come away winning, you know? There is some sense of accomplishment, but it's...
Well, there absolutely has to be something, because it's huge, and...
So 11.5 million people now, worldwide.
I would probably go for something like... I was always intrigued by City of Heroes, although I don't know if that's any good. And
she
I was
played
intrigued...
it for a while. She liked it.
Yeah. And the Star Wars one intrigued me for a while. Although... The problem is, when you get so many people doing it, what seems like you're a unique group in the world, you know, there are 11 million, or, like, let's divide that by 10, you know, there are a million different fellowships of the ring for all, you know, it just doesn't seem as unique anymore. But, I mean, once you're with your group, you can sort of ignore that there are all those
millions
of people out
the
there.
The nice thing is that guild names are unique, although that doesn't mean that people won't make a name very similar. So at least there's an identification in that sense. You join a guild chat channel automatically, and so, like, you constantly have the little interaction with your people. And for the most part, you can ignore the world if you're a well-supplied, well-membered guild. Otherwise, you have to find other people to join a pickup group. And... But it's not too bad, and you know, it's spread out over however many servers, and so the population isn't so high on a given server. Although, you know, that said, it can be annoying because there are sometimes world first things, you know, and it's impossible. And there'll be holiday events, which are kind of goofy things that happen. You know, we just had Noble Garden, which was like an Easter thing.
Right.
And the currency for it was the little chocolates you found in these hidden Easter eggs. And that's not, like, fun, but the Easter eggs are only hidden in four very specific places in a very small geographical area.
Yeah.
And some very clever programmer didn't make the respawns random, which meant you'd pick the egg, get the chocolate, wait a minute, the egg would come back in the same spot. Yeah, well, there were 20 spots, and people found them all, and so you got to stand around with people going click, 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 click. It was seriously not fun, but usually they're more fun. But World of Warcraft. Well, there's always the free trial, so if you ever get curious, then...
That's how they sucker you in.
Well, let me know, and then you can come play on my server, and I'll take you around and show you stuff.
Cool.
But, wow, that was kind of a digression. So
that's all right. That's what that's what the podcast probably should be, right? That we get off on a topic and let it go for a while.
You know, it's funny though, because you were talking about being creative, and one of the reasons I haven't really been writing a lot for my site, well, okay, apart from the fact that I've been sick, I've been looking for a place to live for next year, I've been trying to figure out my bills, I've been trying to write a dissertation chapter, which is due 10 days ago, and I've written about 100 words.
Aside from all that.
Of 12,000. Aside from all that is that I've been kind of working on a short story project, which is related to the material on the site and might even reuse some of it, but I came up with I realized falling asleep one night, because it's always falling asleep one night, that there was kind of a theme to what I was talking about that I hadn't really explored, and that the theme could make for an interesting, if somewhat abstract, collection of short stories. And so I started working on that, but now it's kind of one of those quandaries, you know, it's like, okay, well, if I'm going to put the effort into these, and they're going to be, you know, considerably longer format than the site entries for the most part, what do I do with them? You know, like, do I put them up on the site for free? Do I try to submit them somewhere? What do I do with them? You know, like, what do you do when you're just kind of experimenting like that? And I don't know. I think I'll just send them to you, and then you'll say, these are terrible stories. And then I'll say, oh, okay.
I don't know that I'll say they're terrible. I don't ever think that it's constructive to say that something's terrible anymore, unless it's somebody I really dislike.
So you'll probably just say, "Oh, they're interesting."
No, I think either
they are well.
If you're gonna read a story for some, at least this is the point I've gotten to, and I'm gonna be teaching creative writing next spring, so I'm glad that I've gotten to this point. Uh-huh. You know, if you're gonna read it, you need to give some feedback or just not bother reading it. You know what I mean? And it needs to be more constructive than this is good or this is terrible, because those two things don't help unless it really is good and there's nothing else to say, which is rare, because usually there's something that could be improved or at least thought about moving forward. I don't think I could bring myself to just say this is good or this is terrible.
Yeah. Well, all right.
But in terms of what to do, one of my strategies for promoting myself as a writer, and it hasn't been going very well, but I'm starting to do a little bit more with it, is putting stories up on my personal site and doing them day by day. My plan, if I get around to it today, is to get back to that. Where I post a little bit of a story and the idea is to bring people back the next day to read the next bit of the story. And it did work for a little while. Traffic spiked in a big way on that site, echristopherclark.com. And so that's one option. There are plenty of magazines, electronic magazines out there now, I think, that would be interested in seeing things, and they're of all sorts of different sizes and readerships. That's the problem, is now everybody can start a blog or a website, so you know what's got a following.
You know, actually the following thing, sorry, it made me think of a slight tangent. I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago that we were new and notable on iTunes. And you know, one, it makes you realize the ambiguous quality of notable. Like in A Midsummer Night's Dream, when the rustics have done their play and the man comes back out and informs them that it was very notably discharged. But it kind of... There might actually be someone listening to this, other than AP.
There might be. At least they listen to one, or, you know, at the very least, they listen to one episode,
to
make it new. Yes, thank you.
We've waited 58 minutes and 23 seconds to say it, but...
But thank you.
But thank you. I see your point about the short stories, though, and if I ever actually, you know, finish anything, I'll ask your expert advice.
Yes, expert.
Well, somebody actually wants to pay you money to teach the subject, so...
This is true. Well, they haven't guaranteed it. They just asked me to develop the course.
So
I developed the course, it was approved, and hopefully I will get to teach it next spring.
I'm teaching this summer. I'm teaching History of English Lit, Part 1, which is what I always teach.
Right.
And I'm teaching, for the first time ever, College Writing 1.
Online.
I've taught it in person.
Yeah.
And it's somebody else's class. So, like, basically they just plug me into someone else's class and I run it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever, I get paid. But I'm looking at the signups and, you know, it's like, oh, there are 3 seniors and a junior signing up for this first semester of college class.
Right.
Oh, boy.
I've had that happen where it's a non-traditional student who needs a writing credit. And actually, in some cases, in the one case where I know that happened, she was excellent already.
Yeah.
And what the hard part was, giving her advice on how to get better when she already knew how to write. And the reason she's there is the college is requiring her.
See, my problem is that College Writing 1 is required for all students in their first semester.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know how these people got to where they are unless they just failed and somehow managed to avoid taking English classes altogether.
Yeah.
But oh my God. and it's accelerated too. Instead of 14 weeks, it's 10 weeks. And I have to grade, 7 or 8 assignments over the 10 weeks from what appears to be 25 people. So
right.
I'm not real happy. But but there are better things in the summer.
You know? There are new albums, new movies.
Although Have Lost you seen... will be leaving us.
Yes, Lost will be leaving us on Wednesday, which is very, very sad.
All TV is leaving us. But yeah, I don't know.
Lost is the only thing I watch. So,
what about summer movies? Are you excited? Have you?
I'm very excited, although I'm already behind because Wolverine came out.
Yeah,
a week or 2 weeks ago, and Trek came out this weekend, and I haven't seen either one yet.
I think I'm seeing both of those this week. I hope.
Our intention was to see them, and we are doing a little bit better money-wise, so it's not like money standing in the way. But we're very modest is the wrong word. We don't ask people to babysit, even though people have we have people coming out the wazoo. volunteering to babysit, we just never get around to asking. And so we don't get out that often. Stephanie's not necessarily interested in Trek, but she is interested in Wolverine because we've gone and seen all the X-Men movies. Uh-huh. And I might convince her about Trek.
Make her read Andy's girlfriend's take on how to be a non-geek.
That's what I was thinking.
I mean, literally make her read it, just like tie her to that chair.
Are you looking, and beyond that, Harry Potter's the one that we'll definitely see because we're huge Potter geeks. And I'm trying to think what else is coming out. I feel like there's one other one, but I don't remember. I'll have to look at. I actually had to ask somebody what's the best place to go to find out what's coming out. Terminator's coming out.
Yes.
And I am interested in that, but. If I miss... and Transformers. Those are the other big ones.
I know it's very bad and all, but I did not enjoy the first Transformers movie.
I hated it, and now I've rewatched it, and it's kind of growing on me, but yeah. No, I understand.
It was just too much about CGI, and not... There was the story... What story? You know, I mean, it was... Yeah. I mean, granted, it's the Transformers. You're not going to get Dostoevsky out of it. But at the same time,
yeah,
come on. You know,
it was disappointing to me, and I have since gone back on the advice of people and rewatched it and said, oh, it's not as terrible as I thought it was. But that might just be me trying to please the other person who wanted me to really like it. I do. It's a fun, stupid movie. The other day, I sort of had that desire for Bruckheimer or Bay movies. I wanted to watch Con Air and things like that.
I think you should save that energy and go see Inglourious Basterds instead. A Tarantino film about scalping Nazis.
That's not a bad idea. Although Con Air has a lot of good people in it. Sure. Or at least, it has Malkovich, which is, it has that going for it. And,
I tell you, there's
Steve Buscemi and, you know.
Steve Buscemi was on 30 Rock again this week. And, yeah. And, man, he looks old. It is.
He's getting up there.
But, I don't know. This summer, I just remember the Land of the Lost movie is coming out. Speaking of Saturday morning shows, and
right.
I don't know. I'm a little concerned, to be honest. You know.
Yeah, I don't know that I'll go. I have a Will Ferrell's in that, right?
Yeah,
I kind of have a Will Ferrell
Marshall in the thing, so yeah. Along with Will and Holly.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So there's your Jay and Silent Bob for you.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, and G.I. Joe's coming out this summer.
I know. Graydon Tripp, who we went to high school with, was saying on Twitter the other day that this feels like the summer of being back as either middle schooler or elementary schooler. And yeah, I mean, it feels like 1985 again, you know, or something.
Well, that might not be so bad, although we will have to live through Warrant, Poison, Striper. Yeah, it could get ugly.
And We Built the City on Rock and Roll.
Oh, Starship. You know, that would just be structurally unsound.
I that is my favorite song of all time. But
I thought Heaven is a Place on Earth is your favorite song of all time.
No, that's up there. No, I'm just kidding. I love Belinda Carlisle.
See? There you go. I knew it. And let's not forget Angels and Demons will be out soon.
Angels and Demons, yes. Which is... I think in terms of the book was a prequel, right? But are they marketing this as a sequel?
I think so. I'm just marketing it as whatever.
But in happier music news, right? There's music stuff coming out. I mean, all the movies seem like they could be really good or they could be a bust. Although Trek, I've heard, is really good.
Yeah.
What about the music though?
Well, let's see. In the immediate future, there's the new Green Day album is finally coming out, and it's I don't know. I mean, American Idiot was an enormous surprise. Apparently channeled their inner prog rockers and produced a concept album for the ages. I don't know, but, the reviews I've been reading about 21st Century Breakdown are, they're very mixed. A lot of people seem to think, oh, these are really great and catchy and amazing, and the influences continue to be crazy, anything from Cheap Trick to Queen. But, I'm a little concerned that they may be entering a more preachy phase that they may never get out of again. That I'm necessarily... Sarah Lee saying that I miss Geek Stink Breath or whatever, but I do kind of sometimes wish that every now and again there was something with the kind of carefree nature of I Was There or Going to Passalacqua. So, we'll see. I mean, I'm going to get my paws on it, but I'm actually more excited right now. I just pre-ordered my copy of the new Au Revoir Simone album, Still Night, Still Light, because I love Au Revoir Simone, and I think everybody should go and check them out.
I have a couple of their songs, but I really need to get albums.
You can listen to all of them on their website.
Can you really?
AuRevoirSimone.com. It just starts playing, and you can cycle through the. It plays mostly stuff from The Bird of Music, which is the most recent album, which I like a lot. I'm pretty excited about that. So I don't know.
I'm psyched about the Green Day. I can see. I one more record this record like this. Fine. I want to see them like you. I'd like to see them do something sort of more fun and out there. Although I hear that they've been doing a bunch of side projects under different names. Yeah. Maybe that's where we're supposed, you know, we're supposed to go to these side projects for that sort of thing.
Awesome.
While Green Day becomes, you know, U2 Lite or.
I mean, I'm just thinking. Coldplay's job.
Okay. Or I thought Coldplay's job was to be U2 slash Radiohead Lite.
Well, that's true. That's true, actually. Coldplay, for a while here in the UK, was billed as like a more sophisticated Radiohead, which is pretty hilarious. And does that sophistication just come from going out with Gwyneth Paltrow? I mean, is that supposed to be how that works? Like, she's in classy movies, so they're a classier band. But yeah. Oh, Coldplay.
Oh boy.
Anyway, so before we wrap up. With our usual, oh my god, Lost moment. What's new? What's coming up on the site? Short story, maybe?
Yes, on the E. Christopher Clarke site, I am going to revisit Death by Cursor, which was a story from Those Little Bastards, with a new ending. Because a promise that I made in Those Little Bastards was that all the stories would connect, that everything, and I've wavered over the last few years about whether to renege on that promise, because it's really hard to make everything connect with where the novel is today. But I have a way that I think that's going to work. So what I'm really trying to do
time
is...
time travel?
No, it does not. mistaken identity in the end. But I'm trying to build towards the novel. I don't know what's going to happen with it, whether it'll be a traditional published thing. I hope that it will be. Or published with a group of people, or come out partially on the website, but all the stories I'm putting out now I want to build towards the novel, and so that's what's coming out there. And Geek Force is just going to continue providing geeky stuff. No big news there. How about you?
Yeah, I really need to update the site. I mean, this podcast will be on it, but that doesn't really count. There are one or two entries that I've been writing. One of them is a kind of I guess it's more a discussion topic, sort of like the mixtapes thing from a little while ago, and the other one's just a traditional site entry. So hopefully those will be up this week, although dissertation
yes.
comes first, because my supervisor is sending me death threats.
Yeah,
that's not even like not true, that's actually not true. So there's that. You know, I know I keep saying it in the podcast, but there is a plan for the MP3 project. It just hasn't all come together yet.
Right.
You know, still looking for people to submit new and interesting stuff, because God knows my site's pretty boring with me at the helm. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Otherwise, you know, we're just trucking along. I have to update my 365 songs.
Yeah, I realized this morning I was about 2 weeks behind.
Yeah, it happens. And, you know, I've been thinking of songs to put on there. I just haven't actually had the time. There are one or two sites that I'm actually thinking about migrating my list to, because they seem to have a certain measure of stability. So I'll let you know how that goes. And then I'll let everybody know how it goes. And, yeah, there we are. So I guess that's pretty much it. So, as is traditional, we end with, oh my god, Lost!
Oh my god, Lost!
She sent her own son to be shot? Are you kidding me?
Damn, man. A lot has happened since we last talked about it, but yeah, that's sort of... Yeah, she sends her own son to get shot, and
oh my god.
He's Widmore's son, too. Or at least that's what he said at the end of the episode there.
Dude.
Oh man, this is just going in a crazy place for this finale. I've heard people complaining that it doesn't, at least from the one commercial that's out, that it doesn't seem epic enough. And I don't know what they're talking about. Like, how could this be more epic?
You know, I keep thinking, like, have they already changed the future in some way? You know, like, can Marvin Candle survive now? You know,
right.
Or Dr. Chang rather is can he? Can he survive now that he knows, or will he sacrifice himself? And you know, anything changed already?
Yeah, I mean, we always knew he was going to lose his arm somehow, or at least based on what his arm basically hangs there lifeless in most of the videos.
Tom lost his arm as well.
Yeah, yeah. I actually thought, and And when Widmore was young Widmore earlier in the season, he seemed to be interested in chopping people's limbs off, or at least hands. And so I thought that was going to play a role, and maybe it still will.
Keep wondering if it's to do with the monster in some way. Like, maybe they both reached into something in the temple, and the monster took their arm away.
I'm curious to see whether we'll see any of the temple proper here in the finale. It seems like we're definitely going to see what's underneath Dharmaville.
I think we'd have to, yeah.
Because that's where the bomb is. But are we going to get to the temple? Is Locke going to succeed at killing... Can you kill Jacob? I mean, I thought he was a ghost.
For a while, I've been thinking, maybe Jacob really is the Wizard of Oz. You know, like, maybe he really doesn't exist. Because apart from that... And you always see it in a frame grab, you know, that moment where it seems like there really is someone in his cabin.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe Jacob means something else, you know? Maybe Jacob is the force that keeps those undead types hanging around.
Or maybe Jacob really is the Wizard of Oz in the sense that he's the doctor that's standing behind the curtain. Maybe he's the man behind the curtain. I don't know.
I don't know. It's definitely interesting, and you got to wonder how Ben is going to try to get out of his orders to serve Locke at all costs.
Yeah,
try to kill him.
And the evolution of Richard is the other that all ties into. I always thought Richard was going to prove to be more in control, but he's really just an advisor, and that he sort of feels like he has to go along with whatever these guys are. That's interesting to me.
I wonder why it is that they live the way that they do, Richard's people, you know, because they were there before the Dharma Initiative.
Right.
And so presumably they had free reign in the island.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they didn't build the buildings. The Dharma people built the buildings. But you've got to imagine that if they didn't want them there, they would have found a way to repel them early on. And I mean, you know, I think it's fairly obvious to me, at least, that Richard was on the Black Rock. I mean, there's even that moment where he's building a model ship of that type.
Yeah, that was one of those things that struck out at me. The other thing I think about possibly about Richard, though, is the implication that he might be Egyptian in nature, because there's the constant eyeliner things, which is really just the actor has very dark eyelashes or whatever. But then I've also seen it pointed out that his initials are R.A., Ra, the sun god. We've never seen how many toes he has.
So you think he might have been there on the island forever?
That's another possibility, but I also think we've got him building that ship, and I don't think that's put in there by accident.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very exciting. I can't believe that. Oh, God, in just a few days. In just 2 days.
Yeah.
Finally, we'll know. But then, of course, we have to wait till January next year. Oh, my God. Kidding me?
I've heard that there will be two sort of finale cliffhangers. That's one thing I heard in an interview with Michael Emerson. And that's crazy, too. Like, how are they going to give us two cliffhangers?
I have two off-the-wall predictions for this episode, actually. Mm-hmm. My first off-the-wall prediction is that we will see Alvar Hanso by the end of the episode. We will finally encounter him in the show. And my second off-the-wall prediction is that Desmond and Penny will end up on the island by the end of the show. That's my off-the-wall prediction.
That's not a bad prediction. Because that's the thing, is even if Jack detonates the bomb, Desmond still ends up there, right?
Yeah.
You know? So
it's all kind of crazy. Although, if they just killed Widmore, then Desmond wouldn't end up there, and a lot of things wouldn't happen.
This is very true.
So there we are. We actually got through another goat.
We did.
Wow. Thanks for listening and having nothing better to do.
Yes. Yeah. We're always happy that there are people out there who have nothing better to do than to listen to us.
Hopefully, I guess, or, you know, I guess you could go the other way, but we'll stay positive. Hopefully we'll have another one of these done soon. And cool. All right. Well, thanks, Chris.
Thanks, John.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.